Back to Galatians, there this morning, of course, with Gideon in chapter 4. But let's go back to chapter 1, where the problem begins to be exposed for the Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, when I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. Let's pray. The conversion of Paul, his testimony, is such a pure example of your grace. For Lord, he was not seeking you. He was seeking to destroy the work of Christ. He wasn't seeking to find out more about Christians. He wasn't going to church and seeing what it was about. He wasn't being led along slowly to approach little by little the Christian faith. He was entirely against it. And yet, Lord, what happened to him? And he shows the grace and the gospel and the foundation of it and the authority of it that really, for some reason today, in many places, it is lost. But not lost. For, Lord, the gospel will never be lost because, Lord, it is your will to have it proclaimed and to bring people to faith through it. So, Lord, we pray that we would always honor that. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, living in this world, if you have a religion, that is all that is expected of you as far as religious things go. That's in total, from the world's viewpoint, all you have to do. It does not have to be a doctrinally based decision that you make to follow a religion because of any reason. You just have to pick a religion and say you're of that, and that's enough for the world. The world, that's fine, you're religious. Because it's not important to the world. Religion is an option. You want to deal with God, that's up to you. You want to have a religion, that's up to you. You want to go to church, that's up to you. So, it's enough. If someone says, I'm a Methodist, oh great. I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Hindu. It just doesn't matter. Because the whole idea is not based upon doctrine, it's based upon the object of religion. So that you can say, I'm a very religious person. And the world views that not only as your choice, but as an effectual choice that will get you to heaven. Of course, the world basically believes that even without a religion, they'll go to heaven if they think some good thoughts every now and then of God. It was very similar to the conversation we had with our daughter about one day she would, as she has now done, found a man to have as her boyfriend. We just said to her, it doesn't matter what kind of man it is. As long as you have a man, that's it. Don't tell me what he's done. Don't tell me how long he was incarcerated. Don't tell me about the gunfight he had with the police that night. I don't know. It just doesn't matter. That he's nice to you, that he's kind to you, that he would be a good father. Just that he's a man. That's it. That's all you have to know. And of course, nobody does that. Nothing is that way. Just go get a car. What kind of car? It doesn't matter. It's just a car. You ever seen somebody just go get a car? As long as it's a car, or a house, or a job, or anything. But with religion, just as long as you have one, it's up to you. It's a personal decision. They treat it like, how you do your hair. If you want it curly, if you want to dye it, if you want to let it grow along, just up to you. Just doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want to do. Well, if that were true, there would be no instruction in the Bible at all about you will have no other gods before me. God would never have said no other gods because it wouldn't matter. There would just be whatever god you want to pick. That'd be fine. There would be no examination of doctrine. You would never have doctrine laid out as black and white, true or false, because it wouldn't matter. You believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is just a man. But it doesn't matter. Nonsense. We don't need to even be discussing because it's not important. Did he rise from the dead? Did he not rise from the dead? Was he born of a virgin? Was he not born of a virgin? You've got your religion, I've got mine. But the Bible just never treats the Christian faith that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So right there he's saying, okay, there are a lot of religions. The Bible does say that. There are many false gods. But that this one religion, that through Christ, is the only one that will get you to heaven. And you can't just say, I'm a Christian. There are various tests of doctrine and confession of your faith and how you live that shows whether you really truly believe that or not and whether you're part of that. So it boggles the mind. So when the Galatians began to be what they are when Paul writes this letter, it's no surprise that he doesn't say, well, I see you've gotten another take on the gospel or you've gotten another gospel. Well, it doesn't matter. All I really want for you is to be a religious people. Well, that gets you nowhere. When he saw a statue to the unknown God, he said, well, let me tell you who that is. We have a With Christianity, we have an objective religion, an objective truth. So, verse 1 of this letter, I still remember in one of the earliest days of a second year Greek with Dr. Belcher, we were to do a paper on Galatians 1:1, because in the Greek, you know, it's laid out pretty well here in the New American Standard. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Those three aspects tell us that Paul did not get his apostleship from anyone or through any agency, but directly from Jesus Christ and God the Father. So, he's not giving his opinion about religion, but he's saying that what he has delivered is from God. And these other men that he mentions do not have that. Well, he gives greetings, as we see. He's very nice to them. He's cordial. He's still, as he begins writing, he's still pushing the bullets into his revolver. And so he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Now, he's hinting around the matter now. Who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever. What he's said there, just in passing now, that our sins have been dealt with by Jesus Christ, by giving himself. Because what's about to be said and what they have done is, in all practical manner, is saying that he has not done that. Jesus has not taken our sins. And that Paul's gospel is not an absolute declaration from God. Because it's being changed. It can be changed. The gospel today, and even by religious people, even by Christian religion people, when something is said today that does not mesh with common everyday society, they talk about how people are not interpreting the Bible properly because it's so outdated and outmoded, and you can't say what's in the Bible. You see, that's what people do. And yet, it comes from God. And the basic thing that Jesus does is rescue us from our sins by the giving of his own body to die for our sins, the penalty of sin. So he's already there. He's not launched into it yet, but he's about to. He's pulled the arrow back in the bow. Because they've already missed basic things. Because now if they need to do something in order to be saved, works related, then all of that is wrong. And this whole beginning is Paul being nice, but loading up the bow. So then he says, I'm amazed. Whenever that amazement comes, you know, you want to hear from your mom when you're going, I'm amazed how clean your room is. Well, that's okay. You want, on the playground when you're growing up, you want to hear that cute little girl over there say, I'm amazed at how strong you are, and how far you hit that softball, and how fast you run around the base. And I'm quoting, of course, what I heard. That's okay. But when someone is amazed who is in power, who is in authority from God, and says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. It impresses me how so much is said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the men who were the writers of Scripture by his inspiration. Because he said there that they are in fact deserting God. He doesn't just say they've deserted the gospel, because they have, but deserting him. who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. The gospel has been exchanged for that which others have impressed upon them or pressed upon them to change it to. Verse 7, he says it's not really another gospel. It's not really good news. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. There is within mankind by the fall, and even before the fall, apparently, as we see in the garden, gullibility. When the devil began talking to Eve, she showed a great gullibility. And then when Eve talked to Adam about what she'd been talking to the devil about, the serpent, well, he had great gullibility. He did not discerning at all, did not put his foot down, did not take a stand against this. He's very gullible. Easily swayed. We all know that, but so if Paul is amazed, it's because there was a work of God done there, and they've just completely abandoned it to do something else that is directly in conflict with the gospel. They're not adding to religion. Some people believe that if they have more than one religion, they're really religious. They've added to religion. They've got more religions. Our country seems to think that the more religions we accept, the stronger we are. All of that is true except for the whole thing. You're only strong in your religion if it's true. And only God can tell us what is true. And he communicates that through his apostles and through the prophets. So Paul doesn't have the same attitude that the world has. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Now, here again, Paul shows the nature of the gospel. It is not open for debate. It is not open for change. The gospel is the gospel. The gospel tells us everything we need to know for life and godliness. There is nothing else that we could be told in any additional book that would accentuate or expand in any helpful way of the gospel. There's nobody sitting in a church that gets some kind of a message from God who speaks it out who would ever add anything better than what the gospel already has. It's not needed. We've gotten the whole thing. The old covenant into the new covenant. Once the new covenant comes, we're told wait for Jesus, and we're waiting for Jesus, but there will not be any more gospel, not any more Bible. It's it. It's over. And to add to it, it doesn't add to it. It takes from it. And Paul says, if anybody does that, let him be accursed. Anathema. This is something we say when we really mean that there is absolutely no saving grace at all from what is being done. Let him be accursed. You do not ever do that. Even if an angel, see, this is the thing that Joseph Smith claimed in Mormonism, that an angel showed up to him. He changed it over the years. John the Baptist showed up, Jesus showed up, an angel showed up. When you're crazy, they don't all hold together the same. But he said it's an angel showed up, or Jesus showed up, or some vision showed up. He got some kind of another message. Well, he should have read this and believed it. Don't believe it. If anybody shows up and gives a different gospel, you don't count them blessed. You don't follow them. They're accursed. They're accursed by God. God is against them eternally. And so must you be. You don't give them any encouragement that, yeah, I'd like to hear more about this. I've never said to the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, on my doorstep, yeah, that's a good point. I'd like to study Mormonism more and see what you've got for me. Never. Now, they hand me the Book of Mormon. I said, listen, I want a Book of Mormon so I can see how crazy it is. And they gave me one. He even marked a page I should look. He said, if I read that and just read it after he left, and that I would see the truth of it. It's kind of like transcendental meditation, the way he was describing it. Let me tell you, it just didn't work on me. There's no other gospel. And anybody brings a different gospel, including these two young men, let them be accursed. Unless they change, unless they repent, they are accursed. They're against God. And he says it twice. As we have said before, so I say again, now if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. He did not say there's some good in all religions. Let's admire the beauty of the call to prayer. President Obama said one of the most beautiful things he'd ever witnessed was the Muslim call to prayer. There's something just very religious and noble in it. Well, no, there's not. It's a different gospel, and they're accursed. There's nothing but this gospel. You just don't allow for any good at all. Now, you can benefit from knowing other religions so you can deal with people, but there's no meshing these things together and getting anything out of it. I haven't had one in a long time, a nice, tall, cold glass of orange juice. That tastes pretty good in the morning sometime. Some of you say, oh, that's too much acid. Let's get over all the medical problems that might happen. But I mean, just a nice, tall glass of orange juice. We had it at Columbia Bible College, Tropicana. They supplied it the whole 4 years we had Tropicana orange juice at breakfast. I'm a diabetic. I did not care one bit. I took it and I drank it. It was good. It's good by itself. It's not good if you mix it with milk. You don't say, you know, if this orange juice is good and milk is good. And when we were growing up, we used to drink milk at our meals. And so you get the best of both worlds. You get orange juice, mix it with milk. My mouth's drawing up just telling you about this. You mix it up and drink that. It's not good. You're not gaining anything by accepting, taking into yourself two opposing gospels. Because this is what happens. When you take another gospel in, accept the true gospel, you don't keep the true gospel. Because the true gospel can't be compromised. You lose the true gospel when you take in a false gospel. That's why he says you've deserted God. You've deserted Him who called you. It's an accursed thing. We're dealing with very serious issues here. When you offer another gospel that isn't a gospel, you're talking about people going to hell eternally with false doctrine. So yes, we're taking it seriously. He says it twice. For am I now seeking the favor of men, verse 10, or of God? Now this is a very, very important verse in the discussion. Why is it that so much of what we see, especially in the higher-ups of the Southern Baptist Convention, the political wing, why is it that they are compromising all the time with the purity of the gospel? Why are they adding other philosophies in resolutions? And speaking of how we are very open, we're not racist, they keep going over all these same things. What is the point? Of course we're not racist. Although everything is today, it seems. But why do we keep on doing that? Why are we catering to all that? Well, because they're seeking the favor of men. They're seeking the favor of the media. They're seeking the favor of other religions. They're seeking the favor of lost people who want to see them not too rigid or narrow-minded about the gospel. They want to show that they're meeting them halfway. So they come up with all these crazy things. by resolution, thinking that out there, people are going to hear. And they're going to say, wow, yeah, that's, I want to go to that church. I want to be in that denomination because they're open-minded. I told you it's been a while. You had that video poker thing going on here in the state one time. Have video poker machines and something. We were up at, I think it was Cracker Barrel or somewhere. I heard somebody talking about how, you know, the churches are against these video poker machines, and there'd be a lot more people going to church if they weren't so against that. And is anybody crazy enough to believe that? That as soon as we install a video poker machine back there in the kitchen, we're going to have all kinds of people come to the worship services and want to know about Jesus? A lot of people don't understand this, and we see it all the time. You can't give in to people and have them respect you for it. Once you give in on some principle, then they don't say they're happy. They say, we'd like for you to give in some more. And that's just the way it is. And especially with the gospel, you can't give in to anything about it. Paul said, I'm not seeking the favor of men. I'm seeking the favor of God. If I was seeking to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. They want people to speak well of them. I believe that to this day, the reason we have the insurance we have from the government that's offered is because the Supreme Court Chief Justice wanted to impress the media with his open-mindedness. And so he reinterpreted the proposal that was presented to him that wasn't even asked, and made it where it could go on based on his great wisdom of interpreting it the way he did. That's why we have that. It's because if somebody compromised. He got there that morning, put on his robes, took out his brain, laid it on the table, put his skull cap back on, and went out there and did that. That's what I believe. And once you do that, it never gets better. Now he's viewed that way by many. And so when Paul gets into verse 11, the very important point he's making there is that it's not the gospel because I say it is. It's not the gospel because it's what I choose to believe. It's the gospel from God. And he says that the gospel, verse 11, which was preached by me, is not according to man. Now remember, he said that already in the very first opening verse. It is from God. He says, I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. No one told him about it. He was not taught it. He received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he talks about how he used to be different. He used to be a Judaizer, which is what these people are who have come in the Galatian region and preached another gospel. He used to be them. He used to be better than them. He used to be more into it and more zealous than they are. You've heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. And that is what's happening in Galatia, and that's what's happening with the Judaizers. They don't want to leave Moses, and really they're not leaving Moses. They don't leave Abraham, they're not leaving Abraham. They're leaving the old covenant. They don't want to do that. Our traditions. Oh, we've always done this. We've always come to the temple. We've always sacrificed. We've always had these special feast days. It's a tradition. It happened to be at the time a good one because it was commanded by God as a shadow of Christ. But when Christ came, it was poof, gone. And so he's saying, okay, these Judaizers are coming in. These people are coming in and talking to you. But let me tell you, I went way past them in this. I went much farther and much higher than them. I was advancing beyond many of my contemporaries. Being more extremely zealous, they had nothing on Paul. They couldn't catch his zeal. But when God, who set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. I didn't go to Jerusalem to talk to the apostles there to check my gospel out. I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. Came acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. I didn't see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, what I'm saying to you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. And then I went around the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was not known by sight, but they had heard about me that he who once persecuted the faith, persecuted us, is now preaching the faith, which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of him. Why? Because he was a completely different man. They did not have praise for him because he was a Judaizer, but because he used to be. And when he was a Judaizer of such zeal, he was trying to get the church to go back to the old covenant. And he was not. And so here come these people into the Galatian region, and what are they trying to do? To get them to go back to the old covenant. Now this, I'm not going to go farther than what I've just read through chapter 1. But it goes on after that to talk about even some more of the history of that. That the gospel was not changed. The gospel was not challenged. His gospel was not challenged. It was all the same because it was given by God, just like it was to Peter. And that when Peter acted improperly to the gospel, Paul rebuked him. So it matters that you have the right religion. Religion is not really a good word because religion is just a belief in God with the accompanying practices that you have. It may be a wrong God. Christianity, biblical Christianity, is the gospel. And you get away from anything like what the Judaizers are proclaiming to them. The Judaizers were trying to boast in them. Galatians 6, toward at the end of the Gospels, verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. You see, the big persecution was coming from the Jews. You get persecuted because you're not circumcised. You get circumcised, that'll drop off. You see, that's compromise. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. So, he's circumcised. We got him circumcised. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. They're just trying to get you to, in the flesh, be of their party. And they'll be happy with you if you're of their party. But they themselves, by their practices, by being circumcised, are no closer to God from doing it. And they're trying to pull you away from the new covenant, the new creation that you are in Christ. And one thing that God is not tolerant of is boasting in your works to have salvation, which is what Judaizers ended up believing. that you can do things. You can be circumcised. You can keep feast days. And that will make you righteous in the sight of God. It's work salvation, and it leads you to boasting. And when Paul spoke of that in Ephesians, he said it's not of work so that no one could boast. God will allow for no boasting. All the gospel, all of salvation is by the grace of God, and it comes from God. And that is why any religion just won't do. It's got to be the truth. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?